they've got to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth. Instead of dividing them with lies, we're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Welcome to the Country and Western Tuesday. It's amazing. A lot of stuff going on. No collusion. I don't think anyone's surprised about that. Even the Democrats are not surprised. They're just liars, and they want power. They hunger for that. And my biblical question for this week, brand new biblical question. What is a white supremacist? What is a white supremacist? I want to know. Bill Lockwood is here. My friend Bill, one of the smartest white men on this side of heaven. I got to ask Bill, what is that? And Bill is a radio host, teacher, pastor of Our Park Church of Christ, and the author of Ezekiel, the book Ezekiel, the Watchman of Israel, and so many things I want to cover with Bill. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Jesse Lee. How are you today?
All is well, sir. How are you doing?
Very good. Good to be with you.
Thank you, man. A lot of stuff happening in America today, right?
Seems kind of crazy, isn't it? It's just so much rolling down the pike now, yeah.
I want to get to the Southern Poverty Law Center. That's falling apart, yeah, too. But first, I want to ask your impression about the Mueller report, no collusion with the Russian. What was your first impression when you heard that report?
Well, I just knew, of course, as you pointed out in your intro, I realized, and we all suspected, of course, there was nothing there anyway.
Right.
Yeah. But not only that, but at this point, I'm interested in investigating the other side, not because we want to play tit for tat, not because we want to play Republican versus Democrat, but because whoever initiated this and whatever the causes were that brought this about, this was a deep state effort to take down a sitting president. And yeah, people need to realize that. That's exactly what was going on. We had people who were leaking, such as the James Comeys of the world, leaking information, not only so, but we do have collusion of Hillary Clinton with the Russian government in the Uranium One scandal. That was something that has yet to be uncovered.
Yeah.
And also all of her emails that were, she was in violation, clear violation of the law, covered up by the Obama administration and the Obama Justice Department. Plus, you have Hillary on an unsecured email, and Obama not only knowing it, but he was himself using a pseudonym to communicate with her on that. That is himself in violation of it. And he was orchestrating this, and you know that he was. So it's time to go back and look at Obama now.
Why is it that the Republicans don't go strongly after the Democrats when it's proven that they have done illegal things, that they are wrong? But they don't go to jail. They're not punished. They're not put off committees, and they're just like this woman, Omar, who went after the Jews. She's still on committees. Nothing happens. Why is the Republicans so weak toward these people? Why are they so weak?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, when they've been weak as long as I can remember, all of my life, they've been just this way. They always want to play just for. You know, they just want to play a light game, but the Democrats are playing for blood, and that's the way it has always been. I just think that they're weak because they're not standing on truth, and they're not really recognizing the danger, the extreme danger that the Democrats are putting us in by driving us toward a socialistic, communistic-style government.
Yeah.
And they're not necessarily – and besides that, many Republicans are on board with that as far as big government is concerned. We basically have a fascist government now in which the government is a a co-owner of all businesses and all properties. I mean, you know, they're right in there. We basically have a fascist government. They are co-owners. But and I think Republicans are responsible for it. But the end result of that is communism, and too many Republicans are right there on board with it.
Is it possible that a majority of the Republicans are no different than the Democrats? Their ideas are the same. They agree on the same. They just pretend to be Republicans?
I believe that's right. You know, I disagree, for example, just as an illustration, I disagree with the entire welfare system because it is wrong.
Yes.
It's immoral. It is stealing from some and giving to the other. Republicans simply want to lessen the theft and make it a lesser crime than it is. But once you have admitted the principle, then you're gone. And that's exactly what Republicans have done. They want to simply lessen how much money is taken from one class. Just, for example, also the graduated income tax. That's the brainchild of Karl Marx. We have had that in this country since the time of Woodrow Wilson, and Republicans are not strong enough, apparently, to stand up and say, you know, this is a wrong system. It's a communistic system. It's wrongheaded. It's immoral, and we need to stop it. But, you know, they're just not strong enough to do it.
I've noticed that the president, the Great White Hope, admitted that he is for America. He's a nationalist. But the fight is not only from the Democrats. It is coming from the Republicans as well. They are against the president as much as the Democrats are in putting America first.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there are many Republicans who are exactly the same way. You know, this kind of goes back to a statement I'm going to make here, and that is that I believe that Democrats actually hate America. Now,
yeah.
I know a lot of Democrats are going to fall out on that, but what is America? America is an ideal.
Yeah.
It is a concept of limited government, liberty under limited law. They don't like it. They don't prefer it. They don't want it. They don't want a free market between the states. They don't want states to be able to manage their own businesses, and they haven't done that since the time of Woodrow Wilson and FDR. And that's what America is. Democrats hate that, and many Republicans do also. They want a centralized, powerful government from Washington, D.C. to manage the affairs of everybody's lives, just as they do yours and mine.
Yeah. I've also noticed that, and you can probably disagree with me on this one, that the Republicans, along with the Democrats, I'm not surprised by them, but the Republicans don't stand up for Christians and white people, especially white men. Whenever
right.
something happened to a Christian or Christians, no big deal. You know, they may mention it, but nothing. Or white men, when something happened to white men, that's negative. No big deal. But when it's the Muslims, when it's anyone else, I even notice, and I love Israel, I stand up for Israel, but I notice that there are many Democrats who would not support Israel anymore. They refuse to go to this. They're having some type of convention for Israel. And
right.
there are several Democrats who are openly not going, not participating. They rather support Omar and that other Muslim woman rather than Israel. And I noticed that Republicans are speaking up about that. But if it happened to Christians, nothing's being said about it. Why so lack of support and respect for Christians?
You know what? It goes to the same root. The hate of America is a hate of Christianity because America was founded upon Christian principles. You know, when you read the Founding Fathers, Jesse, every one of them sounded on the same note, and that is America was founded upon Christianity and
yeah.
Christian principles. Patrick Henry even called this a Christian republic, a Christian nation founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how Patrick Henry put it. The Democrats, the Democrat Party, you can see from their own platform, they hate that. They hate the concept. They despise it. And so anything that is opposed to that is something they're going to prefer. So whether it be communism or whether it be socialism, or whether it be Islam, which is nothing more than communism with a religious edge to it. That's all that it is. So they prefer that instead of Christian principles, which really are the foundation of America.
So the Republicans are feeling the same way about that?
I believe so. It's a spirit. This is a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
As you yourself teach and preach, and I think you're exactly right, it's a spiritual warfare, and ours is to cast down imaginations and strongholds and imaginations. That's 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 refers to the concepts and the illusions of men, the ideas, the worldviews that people have.
Yeah.
That's our goal, and we're facing that, and that's what they're about.
That's amazing. When I first became, I was at one time a Democrat. And then God changed my heart, so my values changed, and I became a Republican after reading the platform. And now I find that the Republicans, not all, but most of them, don't even represent the Republicans' platform of God, country, Constitution, family, individuality. They don't represent that anymore. That's gone.
Right. Well, I mean, now they're championing people like John Kennedy, who himself was a Democrat, and he was for a globalist government. You know, he signed the idea that actually a treaty in which he was going to give away all of our armed forces and armaments to the United Nations over a period of time. It was going to transfer. I mean, this is the Republican today, and that was the Democrat of 1960. But it was always a big government, one worlder, socialistic concept. And even though they might be soft socialists in the Republicans, nevertheless, the socialism is what it is. Unless we get rid of the national welfare system, HUD, and the National Education Association, and government control of every aspect of our lives, then I'm going to say that we're all socialistic in some respect, and that Republicans are too.
I don't know, but I've been told that a lot of young white men, and maybe some young white women, are now starting to support this socialist Andrew Yang, or Yin.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with him?
No, I'm not familiar with Yin.
Yin, I believe he's from Indiana, Chicago or somewhere. And he's running, but he's a socialist. And so the young white men are feeling pushed out because they really have nowhere to go at this point. And Andrew Yang has promised to give everybody free money. And so a lot of young white men are saying, well, you know, we're losing the country anyway. Might as well go with Yen and get the free money.
Everybody wants something, you know, for nothing.
Yeah.
That's a shame and a disgrace.
But a lot of young white men who are normally be conservatives are feeling pushed out right now. He's from New York, I'm being told. Yeah. He's from New York.
You know what, Jesse? When we cut the umbilical cord to God and to biblical value— Then we just wander off into as some planet wandering out of its orbit and wandering to try to find any kind of home. And that's what's happening with so many people. So whether it be white men or black men or whomever, that's exactly what we're doing. We're just wandering and trying to find some kind of purpose in life and some way to recoup what we think we've lost. But unless we turn to God and repent in this country, we're just not going to turn this thing around.
That's right. One last point about this. I'm surprised that Hillary Clinton is not in prison, that she's not locked up. If anyone should be locked up, Hillary should have been in jail a long time ago. If they used the same effort that they used on the president to put him in jail on Hillary, Hillary would have been locked up a long time ago.
Well, that is a good point. And here's something else on that note. You know, recently, within the last 48 hours, I've heard several pundits, liberal ones, on Fox News and other places on the radio. But they are saying such things as, well, you investigated Bill Clinton for a long time, and you know, when Bill Clinton was in office, and they sound resentful for that case. So they say, we need to continue the investigation into Donald Trump. I'll tell you what, they are resentful for that Bill Clinton investigation still, even though he was found guilty, even though he not only harassed but had sexual relations with a young woman in the Oval Office, who, by the way, did not have a security clearance. They don't care anything about that. They are still defending and acting sore that Bill Clinton was discovered to be whom he was. I tell you what, it's just amazing.
I saw this black woman on Fox and Friends this morning, speaking of Fox News, and she is a—
You're talking about Donna Brazile?
Yes. She's paid to do that now. I forgot what they call that. Contributor. She's a paid contributor on Fox News. And I was surprised to see that because she was accused of giving Hillary Clinton the answers to the questions prior to a debate or discussion between the president and Hillary Clinton during the primaries. How do they trust this woman again to be fair at this point when she did that?
You know what? This points out the weakness of Fox News. Fox News may be a giant, but it is turning to the left. And that's one indication. At the same time, while this is going on, they're getting rid of Jeanine Pirro, who simply was bold enough to ask the question of Ilhan Omar whether she subscribes to Sharia law. You know, Robert Spencer was supposed to be, who is probably the premier go-to man as far as answering about Islam and Sharia law in this country, used to brief the Pentagon. He was supposed to be on Jeanine Pirro's show several years ago, about two years ago. But Fox News canceled it just with an unannounced canceling of it, and he didn't appear with her. Now when Jeanine Pirro asks questions about Islam and Sharia law, she is out. I mean, she just asks questions, and then she is gone. At the same time, they're hiring Donna Brazile, who has been accused of funneling to Hillary Clinton the questions to the debate, in the debate. They're turning left. And when was the last time you heard on Fox News they're really discussing Sharia law and what Islam stands for? Can one be a Muslim and faithful to Sharia at the same time being a faithful American? Can
you're right. I'm telling you. No? I was surprised this morning with that woman, Brazile, and she was, Donna Brazile, and she was like still bringing up the old thing about Bill Clinton, comparing that to President Trump. I was stunned. And you're right about Sharia law. How come the men and women of this country who are supposed to be Christians don't understand that supporting Islam in America, allowing these people to be a part of our government, it's not good because these people have been taught since birth that Christians and Jews are infidels worthy of death. And why are they allowing these people to come into our country and pretend to be our friend? And now they're defending these people. Don't they know at some point when Islam take over, they're going to take us out? They're not our friends.
No, you know what? Many people that are so-called Christians are not taking their cues or even their lessons from the Bible. They're taking their lessons from the mainstream media and the culture. And the culture wants to define what is Christianity and how it should behave. And you know what? We have a nation, and the nation has certain laws, and we should guard against those who would intrude against it and try to overthrow the government. And that's exactly what Islam and Sharia law at least does.
Yeah.
You go back to Muhammad, who is the perfect Muslim according to Islam. Muhammad, there was not one single person standing in the whole peninsula of Arabia when that man died who disagreed with the man. Now, that is not explained on the basis of freedom.
Amazing.
It's explained on the basis of power and the edge of the sword. That's the only way it's explained. That's how Muslims or Islam progresses. And if people don't understand that, it's simply because they turned a blind eye to it because of political correctness.
Over in in Europe, for example, they have taken over Europe, and now the white people over there, the ones who founded Europe, if they speak up about it, if they say anything, they end up in jail.
It's going to be that way here before it's over with if we don't turn the ship around.
Well, it's already becoming that way. Number one, over in Detroit, the Muslims have taken over a portion of Detroit already, and the whites have had to move out of their own communities because they were threatened by the Muslims. And then we have an example of that in government where Representative Stephen King, a white man, tried to defend America, saying there's nothing wrong with being a nationalist, right? What's wrong with that? When did that become wrong? We haven't heard from him since then. The Republicans, everyone got rid of him. This woman, Omar, and then that other Muslim woman, they say whatever they want about the Jews and America, and they are protected. So it's already happening in this country, too.
That's right. You're exactly right. And what we are not having is an open and honest debate. The Quran is not from God.
Right.
Muhammad was not a prophet of God, but we're not able to even discuss that. We're not able to debate it. We don't want an open discussion on that question. We're just going to accept it because when you hate Christianity and you hate the founding ideals of America, then Islam will do. And that will only do as long as as long as America stands. But once they go into a Muslim country, if this becomes Muslim, or if they go to a Muslim country, the liberals, if they go over there, then they are not going to be happy, because they're going to force them, all the women in Hollywood, they're going to force them to cover up completely, and they'll not be plying their trade over there.
Likewise, Omar and the other Muslim woman, I can't think of her name, they're over here playing tough, you know, pretend like they can speak up and they can Rashida Tlaib. They're playing tough here in this country, and they're talking about going after the president and all kinds of things. Why don't they go back over to their countries and play tough and do that over there? Why can they do it here but not there?
They take them and they beat them. They're supposed to walk behind the man. They're not supposed to sit beside the man. They're supposed to walk behind the man, cover up even their faces. And if they speak to a man in public, then they take them and they cane them.
Yeah.
Happens. You know, they know that. And all of our actresses in Hollywood who hate Christianity and prefer Islam, let them go over there and speak out in that society. Let's see how far they get.
I want to squeeze in a call here, and then I'm going to have to hold you over for a few minutes, if you don't mind, because I want to ask you about the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah.
But I want to go out to Florida, and Ryan want to ask you a question. Ryan from Florida, you're on with Bill Lockwood.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Ryan.
First-time caller, long-time fan.
Oh, yes, first-time caller. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, definitely, bro. I support what you do. I agree with, most everything you say.
Thank you.
But my main question is, you keep calling Trump the Great White Hope.
Yes.
I agree with you for the longest time. I voted for him. But he ran on one major promise in my mind, and that was, putting Hillary Clinton behind bars. We have plenty of evidence to support her crimes and to show everything that she's done. What do you think the reason is that she's not already behind bars?
Bill?
Well, first of all, I believe that we do have a deep state, and it is absolutely has a life of its own, and it moves. And I think that has hamstrung Trump completely. I believe that. I believe that he's not. I mean, for just as an illustration, in the military, they still have the ideals that Obama set forward regarding transgenders in the military. Well, Trump was against that. He was not able to change that over, because they're moving on their own initiative, on their own momentum, without taking direction from the central executive. And, the deep state is a real thing. And I don't think that he's powerful enough to overcome it, really.
And look how they're fighting against the president to prevent him from putting up the wall. Thank you, Ryan, for putting up the wall. This man is fighting day one to put the wall up around the borders. Paul Ryan and all those guys, along with the Democrats, the Never Trumpers, the liberal media, they all have been against him from day one. And
right.
He hasn't given up on that yet, but I don't think America really understands the depths of what this president is fighting against.
I think you're exactly right, Jesse. I don't believe that the American people really understand at all. I mean, they think that it's just a Democrat-Republican thing that is, argue back and forth about it. That is not it at all. We have had a major effort of a coup against the sitting president.
That's amazing. So, Bill, thank you for being with us. Tell the folks how to get to your radio show, how to read your blogs, and just be a part of what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse.
Okay.
Well, the radio show is called American Liberty with Bill Lockwood. It airs out of Wichita Falls, and that is on Saturdays at 11 o'clock. And the station is News Talk 1290 AM dial. And it's also in Lubbock at News Talk 790 on Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. And in Abilene at 1440 a.m. and Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock as well. So it's American Liberty with Bill Lockwood. And then the website is exactly the same name. And I blog on there, and I have others blog with me, such as yourself, have great writers, people that put some good materials in there. So American Liberty with Bill Lockwood, and then you can find all things that I say and mostly what I'm up to.
It's an amazing show, too. I really want people to tune into it. It's mind-blowing.
Thank you.
It's really insightful. I want to ask about the Southern Poverty Law Center. I read that the president, Richard Cohen, I believe his name is, resigned on Saturday. And that was like 2 weeks after co-founder Morris Deese was fired. And I know that at one time they had me listed as a racist on the Southern Poverty Law Center. Tell the folks exactly what it is. What is the Southern Poverty Law Center, and why is it falling apart today?
Well, the Southern Poverty Law Center, founded, I believe, in 1971 by Morris Dees and Joseph Levin, and it was a self-anointed group supposedly designed to point out hate groups and where hate is arising in America. In truth, it is a communist-connected liberal group that is actually targeting so many Christians and conservatives.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, what, of course, why they targeted you.
Yeah.
But, of course, they, as all these communist groups do, they actually have some links in there that they do point out some things that are actually hateful, such as the KKK and so forth. And they'll bring that out. But then they'll put in there, alongside of that, people like Jesse Lee Peterson. Here's another one. They pointed out Carol Swain. Carol Swain. And that was simply because she's a black Christian woman who is a professor at Vanderbilt, just a great spokeswoman for conservative values. And she was listed as a white supremacist. And they did that because she had, I think it was a 2007 interview in which she had a man who had, they were talking about borders, whether they should be open or closed or the southern border. And he was not for the open borders. And so they simply very quickly lined up and called her a white supremacist because she believed we ought to have borders on this in this nation.
Yeah.
And so that's how they smear people. But the communist connections go way back. They're connected to Bill Ayers. Bill Ayers, they have a glowing report with Bill Ayers. They just a glowing interview that they've published on their website for a long time. They've had one of the writers is Chip Berle. Chip Berle was a member of the Socialist Party. They've interviewed Trotskyites, people from the Trotskyite communist connection. Van Jones has been on, and who he is himself, a self-professed communist, is on the board. James Rucker's on the board. These are all people who are part of Color of Change, which is also another organization that's communist connected. So they're hardwired into communism, socialism, and anybody that's a Christian, anybody that's a conservative, then they are targeting them and putting them on the hate map. And it's also of note that the Obama administration was tied right into the Southern Poverty Law Center. They used the SPLC for pointing out hate groups in America, and they had a thoroughfare, just a thoroughfare between the Justice Department under Obama and the SPLC in Montgomery, Alabama. So that's where they're located, in Montgomery. They have a huge endowment. Like $450 million behind the scenes, offshore accounts in the Cayman Islands. But now they have a group of SPLC employees that are suing it for workplace harassment and racism in the workplace. So you have Richard Cohen resigning, the president, Morris Dees, one of the founders, resigned. They have an audit that's an independent audit coming in. Then they had two or three others, such as Rhonda Brownstein, one of the leading writers of SPLC. She has resigned. So they have a lot of people now that are beginning to fall out on this. And so it's a self-anointed group that points out hate, but they themselves, of course, are involved in hateful activity in the workplace. And that's, of course, a little more than irony.
That's amazing. I was reminded on yesterday that during the so-called civil rights movement, I personally think that, and you don't know I think that this way yet, that one of the worst things that's ever happened to black people was the civil rights movement. Black people have never recovered from the civil rights movement because prior to that, they were noble people. They were they got married. Abortion was unheard of. They respected others. They didn't have all this hatred going on. They respected the adults, the older people. And now, ever since that so-called civil rights movement started, blacks have been dependent on someone else to think for them. Marriages are almost non-existent. Out-of-wedlock birth is the thing to do. Abortions everywhere. The hatred of white people everywhere. The lack of desire to work and take care of oneself. Even the men don't want to work. They act like women. It just seems to have never recovered. But I was reminded yesterday that during the so-called civil rights movement, that communism, the Communist Party infiltrated that movement, and that blacks have not overcome that yet. Is that true?
That is true. You know, even Martin Luther King sat in on communist meetings in the late 1950s, and that has been a part of it. Communism has always desired to split America apart along racial lines, and the blacks, as well as at this point the Hispanics, they have been the target of all communistic movements, Jesse, and that's exactly how they have maneuvered and operated through through some of these organizations. And so either whether wittingly or unwittingly, that's exactly what's happened, and we have divided up America along racial lines, and that was the communist goal from the beginning. But that's what they said they were going to do. That's what they did do, and the evidence is clear in history.
Well, it explains then it's not the slavery mentality that black people that's holding black people back, and it's not the so-called racism thing that's holding them back, which doesn't exist, but it's the communist mentality, because I noticed that even in my own family members, there are many of them who have a socialist, communist mentality. They right. feel that somebody owes them something. They are addicted to welfare and government handouts. And so whenever the black politicians or the liberal whites want to run for office or some sort of power, they bring up slavery, they bring up free stuff. We're going to give you affirmative action. We're going to give you reparations. The black people don't seem to be ashamed of that. They just walk lock, step, and barrel with that. They seem to.
Right.
So that started back then during the Martin Luther King right. deal.
That's correct. That is exactly right. The communists were involved in his movement. And they were not only so, but Lyndon Johnson, even, you know, with all the social welfare business, he even said very plainly and boldly, says, I'll have the blacks all voting a Democrat the rest of their lives. And he was exactly right. But that's how they did it. They just drove in that wedge.
Well, I knew that the civil rights leaders, so-called civil rights leaders of that movement, they were for Lyndon B. Johnson giving free welfare to the blacks, because I remember them, Martin Luther King. I was young, but I was shocked when I saw the signing of that bill. And
right.
Martin Luther King Jr. and all of them were standing with him for welfare. And that
right.
that threw me off, that they would support that. And so it's explained now why black people have that communist mentality.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly the communist goal from the inception of communism. That's the way they got their foot in the door in America. And anti-communists in Congress and independent of Congress writers for decades have been pointing out that was the case. And that's how King got it rolled up in it, because it was, you know, they took charge of the racial problems in America. And so we have, you know, we didn't have a peaceable situation, did we?
That's
wasn't
right.
nothing peaceable about it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, that's not to say that there have not been people who have felt one way or the other, or that wrongs were not done to people. But nevertheless, here's something else, too. It should not have been done at a federal level. The fact that it went to a federal level instead of a state level for these types of situations and the rights, the civil rights, the fact that it went to a federal level changed the entire country. It wasn't done at a state level. And that was something that conservatives were worried about from the very beginning, because it was not constitutional to take it to a federal level. But that's what we did. And who is going to say, oh, we can't do this, because all of a sudden the left would paint you as anti-black, anti-minority.
Amazing. I'm blown away right now. And
yeah.
So Martin Luther King Jr. wasn't all that he was cracked up to be, or they, because I see now I understand why Jesse Jackson and that black old guy in the Democratic Party, who's supposed to be one of the leaders now, he looked like
Elijah Cummings.
Yeah, Elijah Cummings and all those people. Why they're so liberal? Because apparently Martin Luther King was that way too. It's just that he's dead, so we don't know what he would be doing
right.
today. But all of the so-called leaders of the black community of the black civil rights movement are stone liberals. And I noticed that whenever they run for office or anything, and we see the Democrats doing it today, they are promising all kind of free stuff, reparation, affirmative action, free money. We're going to give you free money. You don't have to do anything. They are promising them free health care, free everything, because they know that that's what got black people going back then, and that's what's going to keep them now.
That's correct. As a matter of fact, this is a whole whole area that America is just loath to accept. But, you know, those who want truth need to look back and see exactly what happened. This is why the FBI infiltrated Martin Luther King's movement, not because of that, as they moved and they started looking into it, not because he was a black man, not because they were against any civil rights, but because that movement had been infiltrated and utilized as a tool of the communist. And as a matter of fact, Martin Luther King came out against the war in Vietnam in the sense that he supported Ho Chi Minh at one point. I mean, he publicly came out and said that. Well, where did he get those ideas? I mean, you know, we had men over there dying, and Ho Chi Minh, the communist, I mean, he favored him at one point. So those kinds of statements were made by King, but, you know, people they don't want to talk about that. All we have to do, we covered up, just like Congress covered it up, said we're not going to open up the files on him. We're not going to talk about what the FBI discovered about King. We're just going to leave it buried and let the American people just preach it and teach it. So, you know, that's exactly what happened, however.
So Martin Luther King Jr. was a socialist and not a capitalist.
Well, you know what? In my view, it was just like a John Kennedy. You know, John Kennedy was a Democrat, pretty liberal for the time. Today, he's pretty mild. But that's the same way it is with King. I mean, he was kind of mild at the time compared to what we have with Elijah Cummings and Van Jones today. But those Van Joneses of the world, they claim King as theirs. And in one sense, they are right.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's why Elijah Cummings doesn't like people like you claiming King, because they say he was on our side. And that's, well, he was, really.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Well, they say you can judge the person by the company that they keep, and the company is bad.
That's right.
That's amazing.
Yep, King's picture was taken sitting in communistic meetings in the 1950s. He was warned against it. He refused the warnings by the FBI, and he continued with it. They sure did.
So he was meeting with them in agreement?
Apparently so.
That is shocking.
Yeah.
And so
right.
It's no wonder it was the civil rights movement was so messed up. I wish it had never happened. I got to ask you one more question, Bill. I know I'm holding you over. Then I want to squeeze at least one more call for you.
Okay.
Do you need to go to the bathroom or anything? I'm holding you up.
I'm not going to confess it if I do.
I hope you didn't have a coffee this morning.
I did. Two cups.
Oh,
two
God.
Jugs.
Well.
That's okay. No, I'm okay.
So I got to ask. Also, I didn't know this. I absolutely did not know, and I still don't know if it's true or not. So I figure I'll ask the smartest white man on this side of heaven.
Uh-oh.
I've been wondering why are so many Jews in this country so liberal?
Yeah.
They're just so liberal. And I know I've heard that they've gone through a lot. And if they've gone through a lot, they know what suffering is. Why would they join a party, a Democratic Party, that would be against them rather than a conservative party? So I've been asking around, and I was told that the reason that most of them or many of them are liberals is because when, I guess back whenever, there was this whole Hitler thing happening, and a lot of them wanted to come to America, and the Republicans at that time did not want them to come to this country, just like any other foreign person that would come to America. Apparently, the Republicans were fighting against the Jews coming to America, and the Democrats wanted them to come. And so when they came, they joined the Democrats because they allowed them to come, whereas the Republicans would not. Is that true?
I don't know whether about the Republicans and Democrats after World War II, and that's why they became Democrats. I'm suspicious of that analysis because the Jewish population, reaching way back through the Middle Ages, Jesse, has been completely infidelic. And that is because they have rejected the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and they rejected the prophecies that pointed to Christ. And henceforth, thereafter, they took the prophecies of the Old Testament, they took all of the predictions of the Old Testament, and they reran them through a different ringer, and they tried to explain them away, and they became very infidelic in their views of the Bible. So through the Middle Ages, they were very infidelic. They might have a Jewish belief system in some respects, but as far as coming to God with the biblical view, the Old Testament view, absolutely not. Judaism has nothing to do really with the Old Testament. It has more to do with the Talmud, and that is a doctrine of man. It is completely filled with man's laws, no different than the Quran, except with a little different edge, obviously, to it. Muhammad himself had a Jew for a counselor, and that's where he got a lot of his ideas about at least how to manage. You can find in the Talmud the most ugly statements about Jesus Christ that have ever been written by any person. You can find them in the Talmud. They're all right there. And that's what they said about Christ. And so they became very infidelic. And that I think, is explanatory as to what was going on with the Jewish population. They're not, you know, that's how it is with the Talmud. This Talmud, Jewish Talmudism is what it is. It's not Old Testament Judaism.
Amazing. And so I'm black and slow. What is infantile?
Unbeliever, just unbeliever.
Oh.
Unbeliever, you know. You reject Jesus Christ, and then you end up rejecting the God who sent him.
And so is that why they became liberals in this country?
That's why they're liberal throughout history. That's correct. It is correct.
But then there are some Jews who believe in Jesus.
Right. Now, that, of course, that would be different. They would have a different take on it. But many of them who do still want to claim their attachment to Judaism do not recognize that the New Testament erases Jewish-Gentile distinctions, and God's Jew is the Christian. So says Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. So says Paul in several other passages. God's Jew is the Christian. The church is the Israel of God. The Jewish people as a people have no standing before God any longer.
That's amazing. And so do the liberal Jews get along with the conservative Jews?
Not to my knowledge, they don't. There are many conservative Jews, and that's true, but not because they follow the Talmud. Judaism today is Talmudism, and the Talmud is not anything like you might believe. It has completely infidelic statements regarding Jesus Christ.
Amazing. I could go on and on with these questions.
Blasphemous. I mean, horrific blasphemous statements. That's right.
And so are the Jews today, are they aware of all what you just said? Are they aware that happened?
Well, many of them are. Yeah, they are. I mean, maybe some of them are not, but you know what? Those who follow the Talmud are. I mean, there are many books written about it by Jews talking about these very things. That's right.
Amazing. So yes, was Jesus a Jew?
Well, you know what? Today's Jew is not the Jew of the Bible, and so we need to note that. Today's Jew does not trace back to biblical Jews. There's not one Jew today can prove he was a Jew from the time of Jesus Christ, because all of the records were providentially destroyed when Rome destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70. The Jews of Jesus' day were biblical bloodline Jews. The Jews today cannot show that they're Jews. They only trace back to the Middle Kingdom, what is called the Khazar Kingdom of the Middle Ages, early Middle Ages. They're Khazar Jews, and they're not the same type of Jews. So, yes, Jesus was a Jew according to the Jewish bloodline at that time. But I have a manuscript written by a Jew by the name of Benjamin Freeman in about 1960, points out that Jesus was not a Jew in the sense that we know of Judaism today. And he just goes through all of this material.
Is he still living?
I doubt it. I don't know.
Was he rejected when he lived and he spoke those things? Did they not like him, or did they like him?
Oh, they didn't like him. I know they didn't like him. I mean, I didn't follow his life, but I mean, you know very well they didn't like him.
Louis Farrakhan quoted the Talmud about Jesus. What did he say?
The Talmud
about Jesus in order to attack the Jews. What do you think about that?
Well, the Talmud does speak about Jesus Christ in blasphemous terms, and it calls him an illegitimate son of a Roman soldier, and they say that a Roman soldier impregnated Mary. They give us the name of a Roman soldier that they concocted about three centuries after Christ. They say that he died as an animal on a dunghill. That's what the Talmud says regarding Jesus Christ. And so Farrakhan, when he goes to the Talmud, is correct, at least in that respect, in quoting it that way.
So that's why the Muslims are pretending to be friends of the Christians, and they are pretending to respect Jesus?
Well, you know what? That, of course, I think partially is the case, but the Islam, the entire corpus of Sharia law, is very similar to the Talmud in the way that it approaches mankind and how it wants to regulate every element of a man's life, even how you go to the bathroom. There are about 60 laws on that.
Amazing.
And that's, yeah. So, but the Talmud does the same thing. The Talmud is exactly the same.
This is so amazing. You are blowing my metaphor off today. it's so much I can't even compute it right now. Wow.
Yeah, that's interesting, but people are so unaware of it.
Yeah, and nobody talks about it.
No, they don't want to talk about it.
Why not?
But this is just one of those politically incorrect banned subjects, just like talking about Martin Luther King's connection with the communists. It's a banned subject, and they don't want to talk about it, and that's the deal. But people don't want truth. They want politically correct material.
So would you say that Christianity is the only conservative religion?
I do. Christianity. As a matter of fact, I never say Judeo-Christian ethic because it's Christian ethic. Judeo-ethics comes out of the Talmud, which is nothing akin to Christianity.
But I noticed that most people who call themselves Christians don't live like real Christians.
Another problem. That's another problem in and of itself, and that's exactly right. They don't live up to the standard that they set for themselves. They don't walk according to Christ. They walk according to the world.
Why? Why?
Weakness. It's just weakness and temptation. You know, it's easy to fall into and to be what those around us are. We want to melt in. We're just like a horse. We have that herd instinct. We want to fit in to the herd. We don't want to be out by ourselves. And that's, I take it, that's one of the things that people do.
Amazing. Bill, we've run out of time for this hour. Let the people know how to get in touch with you and listen to your show again.
Yeah, it's AmericanLibertyWithBillLockwood.com. That's the website and the radio show. So, yeah, happy for people to read it and listen in.
Very mamma mia, hola, si, senor, informative. Bill, thank you. I can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, Jesse.
All right.
I like that new background.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Colors on me there while I was watching you.
Right. That's right. Travis did that. Thank you, Bill.
All right, Jesse. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Amazing. That was so interesting talking to Bill Lockwood, my friend.
Yeah.
I realize a lot of things I just don't know.
Yep.
And, like, I don't even really know what a Talmud is. What is it, a Bible?
Yeah, I think it's an extra book that they wrote after, you know, the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament, I guess, most of it, or maybe all of it, is used by Jews.
When you say an extra book they wrote, so they wrote the Bible, which was the Old Testament first, right?
Yeah.
And then they wrote the Talmud.
Yeah.
So it's Talmud. Was that considered to be a Bible?
Yeah, it's considered part of, they call it the Talmud. It's an important document.
To the Jewish people?
Yeah.
And which is more important, the Bible or the Talmud?
That's a good question. I've heard from detractors that the Talmud is what they really follow more so than the Old Testament.
But you don't know for sure.
Mm-mm.
That's so interesting to me.
Yeah.
That is mind-blowing. Because I don't know what the Talmud is exactly.
Right.
It's just interesting, that's all. There's a lot going on and a lot we don't know.
Yep.
So now it's been said, and I've heard that about Martin Luther King Jr. before.
Right.
That he was a communist.
Mm-hmm.
I had no, and now it explains, though, why those so-called black civil rights leader people who are still living, why they are so communist and socialist.
Right.
It sounds like they were that way all along.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something they came into. They just were that way.
Yeah, it seems like it. Yep. I heard that he was for unionizing and all that stuff.
Who?
MLK.
What's MLK?
Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh.
Sounds like you're not even listening to me anymore. He tuned me out that fast?
Right. And he was for what now?
Unions.
Oh. I know that at least some of the union, one SCLC, Service Employee National Union or something like
that,
came about during the civil rights movement because they knew that one of the ways that they would be accepted is that they had to recruit angry people.
Right.
And at that time, it was the angry blacks. And so they went out and recruited the angry blacks, and they started the union.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Blacks been used forever. And it has nothing to do with slavery.
Yep.
They just pretended to care about the blacks.
And they've just gotten worse and worse because the unions didn't used to be for open borders, all this immigration and illegal aliens and stuff.
Yeah, when I was growing up, I ain't heard nothing about no union. We just went to work, uh-huh. made money, earned our way, and everybody just did what they did in America.
Yeah. And it's now, corrupting influence.
And now the blacks are all addicted to everything that's wrong. I was looking at that report. I hope we get it. That town hall the other night on BET.
Oh, yeah.
When they had that.
Soledad O'Brien.
Nasty Soledad. Is she white or black or Mexican?
She
needs to go
know.
Back to her race. And Soledad and that old nasty Kamala Harris. I don't know why anyone wanted to vote for her or Booker.
Cory Booker.
Yeah, another girly man. And then that little woman with the short red hair, she cut all her hair all look like a boy.
Karen Bass.
Yes.
Yep.
And then some little black woman from Florida somewhere. And they were all lying to the people. They want to reform prison systems.
Right.
But they didn't deal with any cause and effect at all. They acted as though black people was in jail just because they were black.
Yeah.
They didn't talk about what blacks had done to be in jail, to go to jail, and how they should be dealt with. Why this happening?
It's so typical of a CNN town hall to be promoting the phony racism.
This was on BET.
Oh, okay.
A black show.
Same thing.
Black network.
Yeah.
And it was all about racism, and they got to reform the prison system. And they got to reform the
bail
system. Yep. And they got to let blacks out so they can vote.
Just
they
want
to reform voting rights, and the white man don't want them to vote. It was a mess. Just all lies, and the black people going, yeah, oh.
And they don't know that that's promoting crime
for
blacks.
I'm like, don't you fools know that they let these black people out of jail, they're going to end up in your community and offend you again?
Yep.
But black won't think for themselves. Not all, but most. They just don't think for themselves.
Yeah, it's true. They're for the guilty and not for the innocent.
But I don't even think, I think they're so deep in a dark hole, they don't even know it.
Right.
You know how black men act like black women? And mm-hmm. they get argued, they get mad, they, you know, overreact like a woman. But I think they think that that's their natural nature. I don't know if they know that something is wrong with that.
I mean, they don't get a lot of alternative examples.
That's what it is. But look, like if you act like a woman, if you're a man and you're yelling and arguing and carrying on like a woman, wouldn't you know? It's weird. I'm not acting like a man. You know, wouldn't you like know that? Or men who get with women, they get married or they date or they live in, and the man become a boy with his woman.
Right.
And she's now controlling him. Doesn't he know, why am I the boy and she the mama?
I think maybe a couple people would notice, but I think a black kid witnessing that would know.
Right.
But I think once you're an adult.
The kid would be like, daddy, acting like a little boy with mama.
Right.
But doesn't that man, whether he's all, because I know white men do that too with their women.
Yeah.
And Mexicans do it with their women. Don't they know they're acting like a boy? And the wife or the girlfriend or the live-in is acting like the mama?
They may know, but they're very sensitive about it.
What does that mean?
Because you made me flash back to like a group of friends that will be like, oh, you're whipped, talking to the one guy who has a girlfriend.
Right.
And the guy's like, no, I'm not. Or he just drifts away from his friends to be with the girl until the girl breaks up with him, and then he's back with his friends.